Hello, TGOFE family, and welcome to another episode of Radio Heads.
The I first don't like Bush. Ring.
What if this whole episode was just about the Gnarls Barkley cover of Reckoner? We didn't talk about Radiohead at all.
Sure, yeah.
So this is another episode where we just go through the discography of Radiohead. Spencer says music shit, and I pretend like I know Radiohead as good as I pretend to.
It's fine. It's a fun little dynamic.
It's, you know, what's funny is I was talking with you earlier, and because I was cooking dinner for me and my girlfriend, I asked to push it back to 8, and you were like, sure, that gives me more time to re-listen to the albums. And I realized that I should have been re-listening to the albums today, because I was going to make the excuse where it's like, yeah, I didn't get much time because I was, you know, spending time with my girlfriend. And, you know, I didn't want to just be on my headphones while, you know, we're hanging out. But actually, she left me alone for like 4 hours today. And instead, I watched Kyle Kinane's new stand-up special. So that's a mea culpa. That's on me.
Well, this is going to be an extra interesting episode, but we can talk about the Zionism and the more of the Tom York's wife leaving him and then dying.
I remember enough about a lot of these albums. They, you know, important enough to me that like it's not. I'm not going to be like blind here, but
yeah. All right. Well, let's start with a big one. This was right where we left off, and we are starting with In Rainbows, which is now the consensus pick for the best Radiohead album. Basically.
It is. I mean, not to. I feel like for a lot of Radiohead fans, it has kind of the reputation of being like the time when like 16-year-old girls discovered Radiohead, which it works for me because they put it. I think 15 Step was in the Twilight trailer or whatever.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah,
and yeah, that'll do it.
And so people are like, oh, this is where Radiohead sold out. And it's like, I guess.
Qualitatively like, did not.
No, they didn't.
Put the album out for free.
You could make an argument where it's like, or if not sold out, like, you know, became more mainstream or whatever. And I think that is like true, even though with the reaction to OK Computer is like, were they not already kind of recognized by a lot of the music press? And like by a lot of people who are even tangentially interested in music. But I do think that, or at the very least, like the type of music they're making, you know, that kind of electro rock that they have been delving into for the past couple albums. But I think that, while I see where some people are coming from, also I think just a lot of it is like a kind of reflexive misogyny, which from fucking guys who listen to the cigarette smoking music, no way. But you know the music where you can't listen to it unless you're smoking a cigarette? But I think that this is, without question, their best album. And I think that a lot of the hemming and hawing about it from, you know, fans of OK Computer or Kid A or Amnesiac, I think it rings a little hollow when you listen through the songs and you're like, no, this is like the best marriage of experimentation and like clean and fun to listen to songwriting that they've ever constructed.
Yeah, this is probably the most locked in they've ever sounded.
Yeah.
Just like it's all their other albums were really, you know, like kind of proggy, like OK Computer or very
a lot of Amnesiac,
out there, like Kid A or whatever.
Yeah.
And this one, they are just completely locked in and they are completely in sync. And judging by the recording process of the album, where they basically had a producer yell at them and say everything they were doing sucked and then just forced them to make a fucking album. That's probably how it worked. They sound incredibly locked in, very tight here. I also wanted to loop back to what you were saying, because sometime in like 2012, this fucking like Southern white trash guy I went to high school with told me, Radiohead are for fucking lesbians, man.
Yeah.
Radiohead are for fucking lesbians.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, like, this album in particular, yes, I see the argument.
Yeah. And my opinion,
I've had a lot of lesbian sex to this album. I'm not gonna I'm sure fans of our show are familiar with the story of the time that Spencer made me madder than anyone has ever made me. That was that night, part a crucial element to what made that night so great was that we were high off our ass listening to him rainbows.
I am really glad I interrupted you then. I take it back. No, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry at all anymore.
All
I was sorry
is
before.
It's a great if I knew that shit,
I would have texted you earlier.
Fuck you. What do you have sex to? Fucking juju or whatever? Like
sound of one hand clapping is what I have sex to. Sound of a tree falling in the woods and no one's around.
That's masturbation, is what you're describing.
Yes, it is.
Juju's the one that made the album about like a girl getting molested or whatever, right? Like an experimental album about like this is what it feels like to be molested as a little girl.
Kind of. Okay. Kind of. The girl with basket of fruit. Yeah, kind of.
Is that actually what it's about? I was making up something to make fun of Juju fans.
It's kind of. And all pretty much every Juju song is either about getting molested or having a boyfriend that's way too young. So it's one of those two. That's the subject matter for their songs. But
I'm being completely honest. I have no idea. I've never heard a Juju song in my life. That was solely a joke made about their fans, just compiled from like cultural references and things that you and my other annoying friends have said.
You would probably like the song about that they have about being in a lesbian relationship with a much older woman. That song fucking rocks.
Fuck, I would like that song. God damn. Anything you said, I was prepared to be like, fuck you, don't say that about me. That one, you found the one chink in my armor.
yep, and that one's probably my favorite Juju song.
Fuck you.
Sad Pony Gorilla Girl, baby. In Rainbows.
It's the best album ever made. Can I?
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Uncontroversial Spencer opinion. In Rainbows is a good album. Do I like it as much as Ty? No, but I don't think really anyone likes In Rainbows as much as Ty.
Well, I mean, yeah, very few people. It's the only album I have literally permanently on my body a reference to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it is very, very good.
It's such a good album.
Especially the songs that I like from it are the really fast, rocky ones.
Like 15 Step or like Body Snatchers.
Body Snatchers is like, most of this album is driven by like arpeggios on the guitar. That one's just a straight up like.
I mean, they literally have a song called. Like with the subtitle arpeggi.
It is not the only album that has arpeggi on the album. But Jigsaw Falling Into Place. Jigsaw Falling Into Place
is such a good fucking song.
Maybe my favorite Radiohead song. All those are good. I'm not as into the slower songs on the album. I mean, I'm not gonna talk shit because one, I'm terrified too, but two, second of all, I do like them. Like, there's no moment when I'm listening to this album that I'm not enjoying it. It's a really, really good album. And I wish I had more constructive criticisms to wedge, other than I just kind of like the faster stuff a lot more. And I gotta say, this is Johnny Greenwood's show, this album. Like, Tom York's a good singer. Every member of the band is really talented. This album fucking belongs to Johnny's guitar playing.
Yeah. Well, and it's so, I think what I like a lot about it, and I'll get into some opinions also, but I like it because, like, obviously Tom's voice is, like, a crucial element of it, but, like, so much of the strength of this album comes from, like, the instrumentation and, like, the ability of the song to stand with, like, almost Tom's voice is, like, an afterthought on a lot of them. Like I think I guess you could say other albums do that as well, especially in the more experimental theme. Yeah, like that. Maybe not. Well, I guess OK Computer, but like definitely Amnesiac Kid A. But I think that like this is where it really locks into place because I mean the songwriting is more digestible. I guess you can really I think take it in and like. You were saying you prefer the faster songs, and I get that because the faster songs are very fun. But I think for me, what made this album very interesting to me from a very young age, because my first time hearing this, I was probably like 10 or 11 in my dad's car.
I think same. I think same age, yeah.
In his old beat up blue Dodge Neon. One of my formative memories of my life is listening to the song on my way to like the Barnes and Noble near his house to like go pick up, you know, whatever fucking book I was going to pick up. I think the work of Walter Moores is always what I associate with it, who's just this fucking German guy who made fairy tales. But I remember like listening to this album when I was very young, when a lot of the shit I listened to in my dad's car was like Led Zeppelin or like, you know, fucking like, you know, Black Sabbath or fucking, you know, Daughtry or, but, you know, just like, just a good, obviously, but like a lot of, I mean, Led Zeppelin is not, you know, quote unquote, like traditional rock in the way that you would think of like, you know,
that
fucking,
list you just did.
Yeah.
That list you just did was like, yeah, I enjoyed eating a lot of things as kids. Like I liked eating steak. I liked eating hamburgers. I liked eating crap. Like but, that was,
you know what I mean? Like a lot of stuff where it's like it was rock had formed itself around them enough where it did not feel incredibly new and experimental,
yeah.
Which I guess Led Zeppelin is less that than fucking like Def Leppard or whatever. But
yes,
I think this was the first album where I really heard where I was like, oh, this is like you can sink into this in a way that you, you know, can't with like a lot of traditional rock because like, it's just so ingrained in the culture where it's like, yeah, like Foreigner is not going to give you House of Cards or whatever.
Yes.
And I think that it is very funny that I think listening to a lot of the slower songs as a kid, especially Weird Fishes, which I maintain is, if not the best song ever written, my favorite song ever written. But, you know, that especially fucking Reckoner videotape is, I think... listening to those when I was 11 is like the closest I ever got to feeling like what being high was like until I was like 18 or 19 and like, you know, smoked weed for the first time. Where like I smoked weed and I was like, oh, this feels like being in my dad's car when I was 11 listening to In Rainbows, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like that experience of like something much bigger than you that like you can only kind of comprehend washing over you and in a moment being like, oh shit, the things I thought were what the world was like are not anymore. And I think that like listening to Weird Fishes and like kind of sinking into that is to a little kid who did not drink until the end of high school and did not smoke weed until well into college. I was not well into college. I think like the first time I smoked weed, we had like two fucking stoners who lived in the dorm across from us who just literally just knocked on the door and were like, hey, you want to smoke some weed? And they got busted like 3 times in a month for smoking weed.
God.
It was great. They got kicked out like within 2 months because they kept smoking weed in their room.
That's really, really good. That's great behavior. So we had like a whole fucking system in our dorm where we had like towels blocking everything off. We had like a booth. We had, you know, we opened up the windows, had the fans going. Like we were setting up like a fucking Rube Goldberg machine to make sure we didn't get caught. And then these guys were just like, I don't know, man. Just blow it at the fire alarm.
They rocked. They were very stupid. They were very, very dumb people. I appreciated them so much. They opened my mind. I've told you the story of the time I tried to smoke weed in my dorm room, right?
No.
Okay. So this is going to be a huge tangent from the Radiohead. I promise.
That's fine.
We're going to get back to it at some point. But this is one of like my 5 stories that I have of fun things that happened to me in my life. So I was in a philosophy 101 class with a person who sold weed, right? So eventually, you know, one day I was like, you know what? I would love to buy. I've only ever smoked other people's weed. I would love to, you know, try weed for myself. I would love to buy it myself and, you know, smoke it. And so I, you know, talked to this person in class and I'm like, hey, I am interested in buying some weed. Is that something you could hook me up with? And then, you know, like, yeah, for sure. I can do that. So, you know, we go fucking behind, like we go in like behind a dorm or something, you know, get a little baggie of weed. I'm like, cool. Awesome. And I let it sit for like, I'm going to say 4 or 5 months. Because I'm just like, I never have an opportunity. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, whatever. And I remember I got in a fight with my, at the time, girlfriend who came over. because like I hid it in like a bag of chips in case anyone tried to, you know, come around and like look for it. Like, if you know,
there's gonna be some stoner breaking into your room.
No, you know what I mean. Like
the best day of his life.
No, but campus police would do like a sweep of the dorms or whatever occasionally. So I'm like, I'm gonna play it safe here. If fucking, you know, too high Tommy wants to come through and like rifle for my chips, that's on him. But I just don't want cops to find it. So I keep it in there. I got in a big fight with my girlfriend at the time because like she was going to get some chips and she found my weed and she was like, oh no, why are you doing that? And I'm like, bitch, like, where am I going to keep my weed? Like, what the fuck?
Wait, you mean was she mad that you had weed? Just
I think she
with?
Was scared that I had weed, and I'm like, "What are we doing?"
See, I've had exes that were like mad, or like not mad at me, but like worried that I was like vaping or whatever. And I think that's even lamer.
Yeah,
being afraid of weed.
Yeah, just like the concept of having weed.
Yeah,
but I so I you know I've had it for like a couple months. And one day I just have a fucking awful day in class. Like, I don't even remember what happened, but I remember getting home and I'm like, this is the worst I felt in fucking forever. And I'm like, you know what? Today is the day I do it. So I go up, I, you know, take the weed out. And then I realize like, oh, I don't know how to do this if it's not packed for me in a pipe already, you know? So I'm like, fuck, I can figure this out, whatever. So like, I know people wrap weed up in paper. I got that from TV. And you light it on fire. I know that. So what I ended up doing is like, I'm looking around in my room for paper. And the only thing I can find is a receipt from CVS.
No.
So I take some weed. I like crush up a couple nugs with a coin. I put it in the wrapper. And I, you know, twist up the ends. No spliff or anything. Nothing. No construction. It's literally just a receipt with some weed in it. I'm trying to light the end. It's not working because it's fucking receipt paper, right? And
shit,
I'm like, I'm
60% plastic.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to. I mean, luckily I didn't inhale anything because fucking I would have poisoned myself. But I'm trying this for like 10, 15 minutes. My roommate at the time comes in and is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? There are cops who smelled it going room to room, seeing where the smell is coming from.
Oh,
you need
shit.
To get rid of this right now. Luckily for me, they stopped the floor below ours.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just think they were like, fuck, who cares? Whatever. And, you know, I'm trying to hide it as best I can. Obviously, like, if they check my room, I'm done. I'm busted. For literally not even smoking weed, just lighting weed on fire. And literally, I swear to God, 2 weeks later, this roommate has moved in with someone else.
I'm not going to lie. If I walked in and I saw my roommate smoking weed out of a CVS receipt, I'd be like, I'm done.
I can't be in this scenario right now.
Fucking life.
This can't be my life.
Not only are you like smoking weed in our dorm, but you are failing to smoke weed in our dorm. I'm not dealing with this.
The biggest loser I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, no, I, in like junior year of college, I was in like a dorm, like I was in a dorm setup. It was a, you know, a big suite and I had a bunch of roommates there. We didn't talk or like, you know, we weren't friends or anything, but we just kind of, you know, like roommate stuff, just kept our peace. And, the rest of them were all friends though. And I remember one time I'm like walking back to my dorm. And I just see like the RAs walking around. I'm like, oh, hey. And they're like, oh, hey. Yeah. For some reason, the email didn't go out, but we're doing room inspections right now. So, yeah, you should check that, you know, just be ready. And I'm like, oh, OK. And then I walk back to the room and they have like one of my roommates had this bong that was like 4 feet tall set up in the like
Jesus.
Right there. And they had like
and
glasses.
And he put a lampshade on top of it, and he was like, this'll do it.
Yeah, no, I just like walked in, and I'm like, you guys, they're outside. Put this shit away. And then there was like literally just like the ending of fuck. It was chaos in there for like 30 seconds. And then afterwards, I think they got me free food because I stopped them from getting kicked out very fast. Yeah, no, that was a very, it was a nice little story. But anyways, in rainbows, I like it. My rating is 7 or 8 out of 10, which is a solid thumbs up from me. I assume it's a 10 for you.
Yeah.
It would be funny if you were like, not 9.
It's like 8.5, yeah.
Yeah. And favorite track.
No, it's my favorite album ever made. Yeah.
Favorite track, I would go with Jigsaw Falling Into Place.
It's very annoying. Mine is Weird Fishes. Second is House of Cards. But actually, I think given day, it's between Reckoner or House of Cards for second.
So, have you heard Disc 2 at all? Since I had it until, like, yesterday.
A little bit. I obviously not as well acquainted with it as, like, the, like, main discs that they have going on, the main albums. But, yeah, I know fucking Bangers and Mash. I know, like, I know shit from it.
Yes. Yeah. Bangers and Mash is a really, really good song.
It's
I don't
so
know
great,
why
yeah.
they didn't put it on the original album.
Maybe they were trying to, like, do a balance between the fast ones and the slow ones. They were like, we already have a couple fast ones.
Yeah. That one's really good. Up
down
is the
is
new
the
down.
New is, yeah.
Yeah. That is up there with 2 + 2 = 5 for great anti-Bush titles.
Yeah.
This is a new song called Left is Right.
This is one called Blue is Red.
This is our track called 1980 Now.
This is our track called The Weapons of Mass Destruction Are Real, Aren't They?
Weapons of Mass and Logic. Yeah, but, no, it's good. It is not cohesive at all as an album.
Well,
but
it's just a bunch of like the leftovers that they threw together, which is not bad.
But it's a bunch of really good leftovers. I like them all a lot, except for some of the like ambient interludes. I don't even know why they bothered, but like, again, just looking at the fucking track list, like Bangers and Mash, that's a great song. Last 4 minute Flowers
warning,
some,
I like.
Yeah, Last Flowers has some really cool changes on it. A lot of this stuff, I'd imagine it got cut from In Rainbows because it's a lot uglier sounding than In Rainbows, which is a very pretty album.
They were trying to keep it like more, if not like pop music at the very least, like more. They were trying to get it to go down more smoothly than some of these songs, which is it like I don't want to say it's a shame because I do think it's a great album and I think that it the ability to kind of fade into it is very like one of the big strengths of the album and I think a reason why I put it over some of the previous ones. But I do think that like it would have been a fun change of pace to throw in like a couple discordant like we're still fucking here songs like if not from an album construction standpoint at the very least just from like a through line through some of the previous works and the more experimental fucking chunky stuff that they were putting out in the three albums before this.
So Bangers and Mash is my favorite from this little mini album. Yeah. I don't see too much point in rating it. So let's just jump right to the most controversial album in their entire discography, King of Limbs,
I always want to be a defender of this album.
So I always thought it was their weakest, but for re-listening's sake, I threw it on and I was pretty impressed. I liked it a lot. It, I don't know. It's not on the same level as some of their other stuff, but like it's got a lot more heavy hitters than I remember. And everyone complains that it sounds like it doesn't have drums recorded for it. I kind of like that. It sounds like trip hoppy.
I think there's something to the album. And again, I would love to break with like the fucking critical consensus. I would love to be a, maverick on this. But I listen to this album and I'm like, I have a good time listening to it. If I can like turn my brain off, I'm doing something else. I'm like, this is good background music. But there's something so limited about a lot of the songs where I'm like, I listen to them and I'm like, this is like enjoyable in the moment, this is whatever, but like I'm not gonna think about a lot of the songs because I think that through this experiment that they're doing with like playing with loops rather than like full song construction or whatever, I'm just like I feel like it blocks off a lot of some of the good ideas that this album has. Like I'll say right off the bat, Morning Mr. Magpie I think is my favorite off the album.
That's a really really good song.
It's a great song. But I think that had they written it not out of like a spirit of experimentation, but out of like a spirit of trying to do everything that they needed to make the song better, I think I would have enjoyed it more.
I could see that. I just like, again, something, I think it's just because I've been listening to, like, they were pretty clearly listening to a lot of like Portishead at the time and Massive Attack and bands that did work off of loops their entire career. And like hearing Bloom, which has this very weird discordant drum loop that does not match with any of their earlier stuff, or Lotus Flower, which is just that's always been singled
great
out as the standout
also
on the album. And yeah it is. I don't know. I think it helps that I'm not as into Radiohead as like some of the super fans, that I can kind of take a step back and appreciate what they're trying to do here. I've heard that this album's songs are better live.
I would believe that. Yeah.
No, I believe it too. So who knows? But I will say, Ed, I was willing to go into this and give it like the worst rating out of these. I came around to it a lot. I think that it's a really interesting experiment, and the fact that they are willing to just like kind of, you know, just throw everything out and try something new for a new album, like they did with fucking Kid A, is a signal of why they are so good at what they do.
No, conceptually, I appreciate what they're doing with it. Like, and I do think you're right. Like that ability to experiment, that ability to like take their music in radically new directions is like a big reason why they became so big and have stayed so interesting to listen to. But I just think maybe it's even that I'm just not that big a fan of like the more trip poppy stuff. Like I am a more of a traditionalist in like my, you know, music listening experience, or, you know, the types of genres that I gravitate to. But it just, even the songs I like, I'm like, if this were on another album, if this were in another era of their career, I probably would have enjoyed it more, you know?
One thing I will say is that even though this is 37 minutes long, the last two tracks on this are really weak. The last two tracks, yeah, it does feel like they gave up completely, and they're just like weird, not even like ambient, they're just like, I don't know, like
they're just like throwing shit against the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, like they were rejects from fucking Amnesiac or something. Yeah. And
which
that,
is funny because Amnesiac is, you know.
Yeah, it's the rejects of the rejects, basically. Yeah. And I think that's, I would suspect part of why this album has such a bum reputation is because it ends
on such a fart. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Whereas if they like, you know, changed some stuff around, added two new songs, and then like kept all the, like it starts great. Bloom and Morning Mr. Magpie is a, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember my first time listening to it, I was like, I had a lot of trouble, and maybe that was just because I was like grocery shopping or whatever, but I remember like a lot, like those first kind of like three or four songs, I was having trouble separating them into different songs, like, you know, where one ends and one's being, like, I think it is a very cohesive listening experience for like the first third or half of the album. Yeah.
Yeah, it's extremely cohesive, and I do think that I don't know. There's stuff in here that like definitely deserves to be, you know, revived or given a second look. But I will say that I can't, having gone through it again, I get where like the haters are coming from. It is a failed experiment, but it's a failed experiment I really like, at least.
That's fair. Yeah. And I don't hate it. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, it's the worst thing they ever did. I always want to defend it more than I can, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I was hoping, like, after, like, I heard Bloom, and I'm like, oh, I really like this, I would be like, oh, man, it would be so funny if this became, like, my favorite Radiohead album, and then I was like, yeah, I can't get that far. But it would be a funny position for me to stake out. But
yeah.
I'm gonna give this a 7. I like this. I think this album is good. I think this is solid, and my favorite track is probably Bloom now, honestly.
Yeah, I'll get it like a 6.5. Like I said before, my favorite is Morning Mr. Magpie.
Morning Mr. Magpie. Okay, so Donald Trump gets elected president, and how does Tom York respond? By making an album about getting divorced.
Is it going to be Hail to the Small Guy or the Small Hail Hand Guy?
Small to the Hand?
Hail to the Cheeto?
Yeah.
No.
Down, Fake is the New News.
It's a song about...
2 + 2 = 45? Question mark.
What about a camp of cards at the border?
How about paranoid president?
Ooh, get his ass! Fuck him up!
Yeah.
What about a karma border police? what about high and blow dry?
How about impeachment proof? I wish I was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm standing on phonem right now. I'm standing on...
What, tree fingers? How about small fingers?
How about Orange Star? Account of his hair.
Idiotech. Don't even have to change that one.
Yeah, they should have called the whole album that.
Motion picture soundtrack. What motion picture is the soundtrack to? Home Alone 2?
The national anthem? How about the irrational anthem?
Ooh, fuck him up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyone can play guitar. How about anyone can be the president?
Creep? How about grab them by the pussy?
That's a stretch.
No, I think it works. I think it works perfectly.
Fake plastic trees. How about fake orange skin? Folks, it's a spray tan.
How about fake news?
Nice. Got him.
Yep.
Sulk. All right. He does that all the time.
All right, no, but let's talk
down,
about...
Don't you tell me about it. exit music for a presidency.
I like how I've been making the past ones as bad as possible to kill the bit, and you're just like full speed ahead.
I'm having fun with it. no surprises. How about one surprise? And it's that this Joker got elected.
Electioneering. How about electioneering by Russia?
How about election stealing?
Yeah. How about election interfering?
Mm-hmm. Fitter, happier. How about unfitter, less happy? how about unfitter for office? Oh, wolf at the door. How about a Bannon in the damn Oval Office?
Knives out. How about lies out?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It's so fucking stupid. Hold on, I got more.
Well, I can we suck more. Young blood. How about we suck American blood?
How about we touch young women by the pussy?
Burn the witch. How about grab the pussy?
Hunting bears. How about doing hairs? Because he does his hair all the time with a comb over type scenario.
Fucking hell.
How about, man. Packed like sardines in a crushed tin box. More like packed like Russians in the crushed tin country.
How about you and whose army? How about you and whose basket of deplorables?
Airbag. How about hair bad?
we're not topping that one. Okay, we got it. That one's the best. Okay. All right. So that would be sick if the album was just like all stuff like that. It was all really impotent anti-Trump music.
No, I mean, even better, it was just like their old songs written to be about Trump. Yeah. Instead he was like, he saw the failures of Hail to the Thief in terms of affecting the public consciousness. And he was like, what if I made an album about being sad? Or, I mean, I guess they, but, you know, specifically if you're pinning this on Tom York, said, what if we make an album about being sad in 45?
Yes.
Yeah.
And a moon-shaped pool was the result. And a moon-shaped pool is looking increasingly like it might be the last Radiohead album.
Yeah.
Or the last proper one. They have not released anything under that name.
In eight years.
They're still touring, and they're still all on good terms, but I think they've got their own bags now that they're worried about.
They're like, we've been doing this for a while. Let's do some other shit. Yes. I would love to see them come back maybe for like a 10-year anniversary. I doubt it. But like I feel like Radiohead making a new album for me is very much like George R. R. Martin finishing those fucking books, where I'm like,
yeah,
I'd love it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And even A Moon-Shaped Pool came 5 years after King of Limbs, which was widely considered a disappointment. So
yeah,
there was some like sky high fucking anticipation for this album.
I like and it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It is it's
I might put it in like my third favorite Radiohead album.
I can see it. Yeah. It's a lot different than other Radiohead albums than I remembered. Like, yeah. It is...
It feels more mature, almost. Is that crazy to say?
Like, no, it feels I 100% like agree.
I mean, obviously, they're older guys. They've been, you know, making music together for 20 years by this point. But, and, you know, they're, you know, aging into middle age. But it really does feel like an album that is willing to sit down and take its time. And even if it's not as explosive or exciting as a lot of their earlier albums... I think that it is, you listen to it and you're like, oh no, they've really considered what they are trying to do with this album. They're not just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing which sticks, which I don't think they were doing all the time, but like some of the earlier albums definitely had a feeling of that. Like this one feels like each song they sat down and were like, all right, what are we trying to get across with this? What's the mood we're trying to evoke with this? And then really, really just sanded it down until it was very smooth and good feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this one is them dabbling. It's funny, since Burn the Witch, you hear it and it's like, okay, this is just classic Radiohead. Like, this is just like an In Rainbow song.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is like kind of post-rocky. Like, it's going off of like, I don't know, like really quiet classical influence stuff, like really late period talk. It's very, very just quiet and sparse. And there's a very strong Johnny Greenwood influence here, but not like the guitar stuff on his soundtracking work is really influential here.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is that a lot of it does have a kind of, if not like ambient feel, a feel of like, oh, this, yeah, more of like a score than an album.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tom York is like, even more than Kid A, it feels like he's willing to kind of take the back seat here and let the band cook, which is funny since this is his breakup album. This is his breakup album, but he just ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I do think, much like we were saying earlier, like, the vocals are a crucial glue to it. It's just like they are more, he has been more and more willing to fade into the song rather than having the song support his vocals.
And this also album, like, if it is their last one, it is a very fitting one, since you get like little bits and pieces of like all their previous career here. Like Burn the Witch, that's like an In Rainbows song. Identikit has some of the more like percussive elements of In Rainbows.
I think Full Stop reminds me of more of like maybe
the Bends.
Like Amnesiac. I was going to even say Amnesiac Kid A, but I could see the Bends also.
I think it's just because that song is so sad. So I associate that with the Bends.
No, but I think just in terms of its construction, it reminds me of more like that period in between OK Computer and In Rainbows.
There's not a lot of Pablo Honey on here, which would have been funny. It would have been funny if they
had like one song that sounded like they were ripping off Nirvana. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One just. But they did give a wedge to it because they put True Love Waits on the album, which was every Radiohead.
Which is very sweet. And
yes.
I think ending it with True Love Waits might be like the biggest clue that like Radiohead might not come together again for like a full length album. Because like, literally it's like, and it's like sentimental and it's like bittersweet. And it's like a lot of this album, it's like kind of melancholy, but in a way where you're like, oh, I appreciate what they're doing here, because it's like, they've been trying to make that song work for the better part of like fucking 15 years. And like, ending the album with it is kind of a sign where it's like, we've done what we wanted to do with this band.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, like, it's just a really solid album all around. Like, I think that it was unfortunate because when it came out, it got so much fucking hype that, like, in hindsight was
there's no way
crazy.
It could live up to it.
As the years have gone by, it's kind of like recessed down into like a B-tier Radiohead album for most people, whereas I'd honestly put it like pretty close to the top for their stuff. Like, I really do think that it's a really solid career summation. And you know, if I complain about the slower stuff on in Rainbows, the slow stuff is like my favorite part here. Like fucking Daydreaming. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best songs they've ever done.
See, it is funny that we're kind of opposite because my favorite song off this with a bullet is Full Stop, which is one of the kind of, if not like crazy fast, like one of the faster up-tempo songs that they do.
Yeah, Full Stop I always forget is like a faster song just because like whenever I'm listening to it, I'm like, this is the divorce song.
Yeah.
Like, this is the song about the divorce. So I'm just like, oh, poor guy.
A very sad fact about my life is that oftentimes when I'm like feeling kind of anxious or whatever, I will in my head start hearing, you really fucked or you really messed up everything. Really messed up everything. And, like, it'll just like play on repeat in my head and like, don't do that. Come on. And then my girlfriend will be like, have you considered going to therapy? And I'm like, shut up, bitch.
Yeah, I think my version of that is the song on Low where he goes, you're such a wonderful person, but you got problems.
Oh, see, even that's nice to yourself. It's like, like, this is like full, like, my brain's like, anytime something goes wrong, it's like, you fucking loser. You can't do anything right, you piece of shit.
Yeah, no, this is
If I like say something weird at a party, my brain's like, this is the equivalent of getting divorced to your wife of a decade.
Yeah. It was like a 20-year, is crazy. Yeah, no, they've been together a while. But breakup albums, I fucking love those. Like I like Rumors. That's such a good album. The Visitors, that's one of the most underrated albums ever because every single member of the band got divorced with each other for The Visitors. Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love that. And Moon-Shaped Pool is another excellent addition to that canon of people trying to work through their marital problems on tape.
Yeah,
and I think it's a good album.
Yeah, if you see music as, like, both an exercise in, like, technical construction and an ability to translate the thoughts and feelings inside someone's head into like an understandable form for an audience, like divorce is fucking good for that. Cause there's never gotten divorced myself, been around a lot of divorce. There's a lot of fucking emotions in it. And like,
yes,
it seems like death of a child, getting shot by like a mugger and then divorce are like, yeah, those are the one. Like, those are the biggest things you can draw emotions and like feelings and a wide array of different experiences and perception shifts from.
What about your? What about getting fired from your job as a systems analyst? I think that should be number one.
Well, it's like two, maybe. I think kid dying is above. I think it's like kid dying, systems analyst, getting shot by a mugger.
Yeah. Somewhat more people should do concept albums about getting fired from your white collar job.
Yeah.
And then getting unemployment checks for 2 years.
It's more interesting than all of them where it's like, this is an album that's trying to describe what it feels like to have schizophrenia. It's like, shut up. You don't know.
Yeah. I don't have to deal with that.
You know,
one of these days I'm going to have an office job that I'm going to get fired from. Yeah. And I'm going to need music for that.
Why do I want to pretend like I have schizophrenia? I was lucky. I avoided it. But I might become a systems analyst someday, so I should be prepared.
Yeah, you should. I don't need all of these songs about wanting to kill yourself. I need a song about switching from employer-based health insurance to marketplace health insurance. Give me some of that.
Excuse me. I don't need to know what it's like to have dementia. I need to know how to write a resume.
I need to know what it's like to put out 3 really shitty job applications per week so I can get unemployment checks.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, man. I'll deal with being senile when I'm 75. Right now, I need to know about how to convince my girlfriend that I'm looking.
Yeah, you can write this whole album about like your wife dying of cancer, like, you know, that's cool. I'm happy for you. Me, myself, I would prefer like an album about asking your parents for money that you don't really need. I think that would be more appropriate.
Yeah. Cool album about being born. Already did that. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Instead, I need to know about how to look up different relatives on LinkedIn that I forgot about and see if they can give me a check.
Yeah.
I had roommates who did that one time and I'm like, Jesus Christ. It can't be that hard to get a fucking job.
Secret relatives on LinkedIn is crazy.
I mean, not LinkedIn specifically, but like they were writing to like second uncles, and I'm like, what the fuck? Imagine we have a bodega down the street. Just fucking talk to them.
I like the idea of like one of your DLC nephews sends you like snail mail asking for a job.
Yeah, it's like someone where like they were like looking at the appendix at the back of Game of Thrones, being like, is that person? Could they give me $300? And it's like, just fucking walk into any restaurant and be like, do you need someone to wash dishes?
This one guy who couldn't make it to the family reunion. Yeah, I'm going to ask him for $80,000 a year.
Yeah, it's fucking. Yeah, I don't know.
That's great. Yeah, no, but I don't know. Moonshaped Pool, good album. I'm going to put it in the 7 or 8 out of 10 tier, as in I really, really like it. And honestly, I think the more I listen to it, the more my opinion of it will go up, since I hadn't heard it since 2019.
I'd give it like an 8, yeah.
Yeah. Favorite track?
Like I said, Full Stop.
Yeah, Daydreaming for me, but Full Stop is a close second.
Burn the Witch, so, I think, is my second.
Burn the Witch is just, it's a great way to start it.
I mean, even though I don't think True Love Waits is like my favorite song they've ever written, I think the whole background behind it might make it my second, just because like it is very cathartic to see them finally get that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do have to ask you, since we have about 10 minutes left, and no worries if not, we can make up some bullshit.
Yeah.
Have you heard the two albums by The Smile?
I've heard the first one. I did not listen to the second one. I was a big fan of the first one.
Okay. If you've heard the first one, you've basically heard the second one, since they're more or less the same deal. They have the same deal. It's Johnny and Tom doing their same shit again. And I got to ask you, since based on your perception, do you see this as like a very different thing than Radiohead, or does it just feel like a continuation, since I kind of go back and forth?
I think enough of Radiohead's work was driven by Tom and Johnny that I think that there is more similarity than there is difference. Or am I fucking this up? Johnny Greenwood's in it, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they were kind of, obviously everyone in the band's important. I think they're kind of the heart of it to a degree, where I'm like, even when they are trying things different, I'm like, I see enough of the Radiohead DNA that just literally comes from these two people making art that like, yeah, obviously there's going to be commonalities because they're the same people, you know, who are between, you know, making these two different projects. If you were to play me, I mean, I know a lot of Radiohead songs in my soul, but like if I were a little less fucking in tune, if I were a little less of a Radiohead fan and you played me a selection of Smile songs, I might have difficulty like saying which was from which project.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I did, like, when I first heard these albums, you know, I listened to Wall of Eyes and caught up with the other one when they came out.
Yeah.
And I think I probably just listened to them as, like, a continuation of Radiohead, and they didn't quite work for me that way. Once I started to try and approach them today as, like, all right, I'm going to see if I can, like, find where the breaks are between their earlier stuff and this. And I enjoyed it a bit more, just being able to, like, try and sort through, like, what's the same, what's different. Because, like, you hear all the weird, like, changes. You hear all of, like, you know, the weird time signature stuff and Tom just kind of, like, doing all these weird careening, yowling melodies. That's going to be on any of their stuff. But it is, like, I don't know. It's, like, a little rockier almost. Like, they now that it's just them and one drummer.
You mean,
drummer,
like, more, like, rock music and not rockier?
Yes.
Like grittier. Okay.
Yeah, it's just more, it feels more like rock music rather than the like kind of art rock thing that they were doing earlier, since they are just stripped down to a trio at this point. So they have, I don't know, it feels a little bit more pared back. There's a bit more space between the sounds on the album. Like there's no real like dense soundscapes that they had on the earlier stuff. This is just like initial impressions though, since I have not spent a ton of time with these, but I think they're both solid. I think they're both like pretty solid, but they're also a good argument for Radiohead not reforming.
I mean, I have yet to listen to the new one. I like Radiohead better than The Smile. I mean, I appreciate what they're doing. If you throw on the album for me, I will have a good time with it. But like, I don't know. I even if it's just the fucking brand loyalty, like, I feel like I would rather this be the last Smile album than Radiohead come back for another round.
Oh no. I was, what I meant by that was, is that, you know, Radiohead stops, we get a break, and then we get these two albums and they're good. They're interesting. But, you know, if we really take that Johnny and Tom are like kind of the core of the band and the heart, we could probably expect that the Radiohead albums we would have hypothetically been getting in place would, would have been a little underwhelming.
I see the argument you're making. I thought you meant more like you appreciated the direction these were going in.
Yeah, no, and it's not like they're good. Like, I'd say they're both in the 6 to 7 out of 10 range. They're both solid. There's some really great moments on them. Like, Wall of Eyes has this really crazy guitar solo on Bending Hectic. Mm. And there's a lot of cool, like, you know, the intro to Thin Thing is really good. Some great songs on them, like Panavision. But, you know, these albums are, like, they're really interesting without ever being exciting in the way that the best Radiohead songs were.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to describe it, where you're listening to it and you're like, oh, I'm having a good time with this, but like very rarely are you like, what the hell? Like, this,
you don't ever get the kind of like just weird jolts you get whenever you hear something like Body Snatcher or Paranoid Android or something, or even like the cool like spaced out feeling you get with like National Anthem or Weird Fishes even. And so there, it's good, but going off the George R. R. Martin comparison, imagine if George R. R. Martin out of nowhere dropped a new Dunk and Egg novella. And it was
would not be surprising.
You know, I mean, he kind of did this with Fire and Blood, but like, imagine just out of nowhere, new Dunk and Egg novella comes out, you read it, and it's solid. It's fine. You're like,
I really like Fire and Blood, though.
Okay. But just imagine it was like, just okay.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, if this is what a
Dunk and Egg novella?
You read it, and you're like, it's like, well, this is what Wins a Winner was going to be, you know, maybe it's not the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah. I like Dunkin' Egg. That's kind of how I feel whenever I read Dunkin' Egg stuff. I'm like, sure. Yeah, man, I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to make some more wild cards? Great. I hope it's a good time.
Okay, it's awesome that not only does he want to finish the series, but he wants to finish Dunkin' Egg and Fire and Blood, ideally,
like, you're
before
never
he
gonna
finishes A Dream of Spring.
We
are maybe getting Fire and Blood, too. Maybe.
I would be fine with that. I like Fire and Blood enough. And I think one of my favorite... This is not Radiohead anymore. We're done with Radiohead. We're not even going to talk about the hybrid albums they made, where it was like most of the same songs remastered and then a couple new ones. Fuck that. We're not talking about that. If you want a special 10-minute bonus on those, pay us $50 each. But I think that like what George R. R. Martin has like unintentionally wandered into is the idea that he's bit way too much off than he can chew, but he's given us a lot of history and he's given us a lot of like scaffolding details both through the show and through interviews of how the story is going to go. Everyone's just going to try to finish the fucking story for him, which is funny for a guy who's like, well, you see, I think fan fiction is not very respectful to the artist, because if you wanted to make something good, you could write your own thing. It's like, all right, but you're not going to write your own thing, so don't get... So people are going to do it for you, dumb bitch.
It's gotten to the point where, like, whenever he issues a statement about what is going to happen in the story, people are just like
we know.
No, people usually say, like, nah, that's not going to happen.
I read a
Song of Ice and Fire Reddit post that said something different was going to happen. You don't know what you're talking about.
But it's just such a funny end to the series where it's like, yeah, this guy, because he's trying to enjoy his twilight years, which good for you. But it's like, you realize that you are going to be like below the Hitchhiker's Guide Galaxy, you know, the Hitchhiker's Guide books being finished by Brandon Sanderson. Yours are going to be finished by like r/Greyjoy fan on Reddit.
Yeah, since you won't let anyone else that you know, including your many, many sci-fi and fantasy writer friends that you respect a lot, you're not going to let them finish your work, so you're just going to leave it to YouTubers.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be Control-Alt-X or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's going to be guys called, like, Azor Ahai on YouTube, basically.
Yeah.
And they're just going to write the worst ending to this book of all time.
Or maybe the perfect one. Do you ever consider that a white boy can write? Do you ever consider that a white boy can write some fanfic with the best of them?
One way or another, it will be a better ending than George R. R. Martin will give us.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Man, fuck that guy. He changed my life, dumb bitch.
Fuck that asshole. Who?
Fuck that asshole. I have his work. See, it is funny because like this, much like most of the conversations we have, this has devolved into a conversation about the two artists who I have tattooed on my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I do read, like, the Song of Ice and Fire subreddit for, like, news and updates and stuff. And, like, there was just, like, after New Year's, when George didn't even bother posting anything about Winds of Winter, like, all the fans were like, I hope he, the fat fuck, I hope he fucking dies.
Yeah.
And then when George R. R. Martin posted something, it's like, hey, guys, I've been feeling kind of depressed recently because all my friends are dying.
Yeah, I wonder why. Just,
and then we were all just like, we love you, George. It's okay. It's all good. It's so funny. These people are...
Sorry, I didn't give a New Year's update. Every single person I've ever met has prostate cancer, and the 35-year-olds who love my work keep calling me a cuckold. Yeah, the grown adults who were changed by my prose and literary vision keep telling me to die in a pit of snakes.
Guys who make the Manus memes are really, really mad at me and were sending me death threats while my best friend was in hospice care.
That's a great House Umber cosplay you got there, Healther Fan 1982. Please stop telling me that you're going to bomb my mother's house. She doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah, great cosplay. Will it bring back one of my dead friends?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I guess I have to publish those books to pay for the airfare to all the funerals I have to go to. So, thanks for telling me that my mother sucks cock in hell. Ned Stark Enjoyer 14.
Yeah, it's such a great relationship where it's just like constantly at a fever pitch of anger. And then he'll either say like, yeah, I wrote 100 more pages. And then everyone's just like, woo, yeah, woo. Or then he'll just say, guys, I feel really sad right now. And then they'll just be like, I've never said anything bad about you.
It's so funny when people go crazy over him being like, I've written 500 pages, you know, in the last 2 weeks for the Winds of Summer. It's like, or the Winds of Spring. It's like, do you think that him writing shit is the problem? Like, it's all in the editing.
Yeah, no, he goes back. He changes everything. Because he's got a goldfish like attention span. He's just like, oh, this would be even cooler. Let's rewrite the entire book.
He's probably written like enough for 5 novels. It's just he just can't fucking put it together.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And he's also still kind of deluding himself that this can be wrapped up in 2 books. So
no,
it's just
it
like,
can't.
Well, this won't be take too long. I don't know. But folks, this was Radiohead's part 2. This
plus
was
a little bit of fuck, we need a name for the other one. I was going to say a pod of ice and fire, and I'm like, there's 7 podcasts called that already. Game of...
Let's just call it Not a Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, the first podcast ever made called Not a Podcast about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we'll just call it Not a Podcast.
We should get Emmett back on. He was...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool boy. He's a sweet boy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
All right, but folks, thank you all for listening, and we'll let Big Andy out of his cage on Thursday or Friday.
No, please, just for a little longer.
we'll let him out. We'll open up the cage. You know, we've been got him a little dog bowl down there, but we'll let him. You know, we'll let
Spencer
him out.
Spencer keeps asking me not to kick it, but it's just it makes such a fun noise.
Yeah,
and the cage makes a fun noise too.
I didn't know you could pick that cage up, but you've been shaking it up and down like it's a soda can.
I'm trying to throw it against the wall.
Yeah. You got like the loudest piece of metal I've ever heard, and you've been rolling it across the bars of the cage.
Every day for 15 minutes, I hold an iron up to it and just see Andy dance around.
You've been vacuuming the floor next to it like for the past couple weeks. That floor isn't getting any fucking cleaner.
One time I pissed in his water jug.
All right, that's gonna do it. Bye, everyone.
Bye, babies.
I'll trail my blame. dress like me. And wash your swollen feet. Do